It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. Follow me on TikTok, Hoff WFAN, on Twitter, at The Hoff WFAN, at The Fight Fan WFAN, and everywhere else, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app is The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman. This week, I have Jake Collier. He's a heavyweight. He is fighting Andre Arlovsky April 30th. Originally, it was supposed to be Justin Taffa, but Taffa had to back out. Listen, it's not never a back out because they're, you know, wimp a fighter or anything like that. It's just because of some sort of ailment or physical injury or whatever the case is. Andre Arlovsky steps up. This is a huge fight for Collier in the heavyweight division. So it's going to be exciting April 30th, and we talk about that in a little bit. So definitely check that out in a few minutes. Jake Collier will join me to discuss about, you know, his being a bigger kid, having MMA. That's the reason why he was able to lose a lot of weight, fighting in those 180, 85 pounds and 205 divisions and whatnot. And then saying, you know what, F it, I'm going to be where I'm most comfortable, which is heavyweight division. Really quickly, because we're going to touch on also UFC, the event tonight. But really quickly, just want to touch on yesterday's event for Bellator. As you can see, Patricio Pitbull beats AJ McKee by decision. So he gets his featherweight belt back. The light heavyweight Grand Prix with Vadim Nemkov and Corey Anderson. Accidental clash of heads, third round, and the fight is a no contest. So no Grand Prix winner, no belt winner, no nothing. It's just disappointing. We've seen that before. That's one of the biggest things that's in the sport that still, you know, you can't change things that happen. Like in baseball, if the pitcher goes down, there's a replacement. In football, if the quarterback goes down, there's a backup. It might not be as efficient or effective, but you have somebody to go in and sub. In these situations, it's one-on-one. If there's an accidental headbutt, if there's a groin shot, if there's an eye poke, and the fighters can't fight anymore, that's it. Game over. Fight's over. It's not really climactic. It's very anticlimactic. It's not what you want, especially when there's a no contest. I guess the good thing was you still had the Pitbull versus McKee fight afterwards, so at least that was something to look forward to. Because otherwise, to end on that note is even worse. We've had those before. We had the Jeremy Stephens eye poke versus was a Yair Rodriguez. We've had plenty of those. So it's not ideal. Situations like that do happen. No, the Aljamain Sterling Pedrian the first time around. You had Aaron Pico defeat Adili Edwards, TKO punches. Listen, Pico's a great fighter. He's unbelievable. I just want to see better competition for him. I'm sorry. Up until Aaron Pico fights a real... listen, and these guys are not real fighters, but I will just compare it this way. This is the difference between the UFC and Bellator, is that on the high end level, yes, you'll have a Patricio Pitbull versus AJ McKee. Amazing. You'll have Nemkov versus Corey Anderson. Okay, cool. But Aaron Pico... And I know he's young, and I know they want to hype him up, but until he has a true test in front of him, I can't buy into it. And he's lost fights. So that's the reason why I'm just like, you know, I know he's well-rounded. I know he's a knockout specialist or likes to knock out his opponents. He's good on the ground, too. I know he's well-versed in MMA world, but there's just things about him that still aren't proven in my opinion. I think that there's still things that he needs to prove, and one of those is to fight a proven fighter. Like, look at what's going on in the UFC world, right? So Paddy Pimblett has been fantastic. He's won a few fights in UFC. He's come back from fights where it looked like he was losing or he was about to get, you know, about to be out for the count, and he finds a way and wins the fights. You know, Matt Frivola is out there right now calling out Paddy Pimblett, which I love. Because that is a true test for Paddy Pimblett. Not for nothing. I know we see Frivola has his ups and downs in the UFC career, but he is a legitimate fighter in MMA, in UFC, in a lightweight division that's stacked, against extremely top talent guys that, like, you know, Terrence McKinney is really good. So is Jalen Turner. He's had some mixed bags, but he always finds a way to put up a really good fight. And Paddy Pimblett, if that happens, I think they're supposed to go Liverpool in July, I think is what they're calling for. If that fight happens, that is a true test to Paddy Pimblett to see how he is. Now, whether or not they want to give him that test to the UFC, it's a different question. Aaron Pico, I don't think they have many true tests for him in Bellator. They can, and I don't want to call these guys tin cans because that's unfair. But I think the true tests in Bellator are the top of the division, and they know they can't give him those guys just yet because he's just not ready for the main stage. He's not ready for the spotlight. He's not there yet. And he'll get picked apart. And they want to continue to rise Pico's, star power. So they'll give him some guys like Edwards, who just is not going to be as competitive, you know? And it's just not going to be as a true test to Pico. Now, it raises confidence, which is good. But it's not giving him the true test that I want to see for an MMA fighter. Listen, Bellator is doing what they can. UFC does what they can too. But they'll put somebody up. They'll put a guy. Like, look what we're talking about. Jake Collier versus Andre Arlovski. Arlovski's knows, you know, he may be a stepping stone. He may be somebody for Collier that if he beats, wow, we have to really look at Jake Collier now in the heavyweight division to see what it is. Because, you know, Arlovski still is that kind of gatekeeper. Well, who are the gatekeepers in Bellator? There's not many. The gatekeepers are the title contenders constantly. So I need to see Pico fight one of those guys, but they know he's not ready. So that's my issue. And I will stand pat. The depth of the roster just not there yet. And Linton Vassell defeated Timothy Johnson in the first round, TKO punches. And then unfortunately, the prelims were not as exciting. Again, not as big of a card. I know Rafael Carvalho was on there, but again, still, just it's not. I look at these names, not many people highlighted. I can't get so excited about it. All right, and then you have the UFC event that's going on today. It's a rematch between Vicente Luque and Bilal Muhammad. Muhammad early in his career lost to Luque by knockout. I believe it was UFC 205, which I believe was the first ever MSG fight card. So if I'm correct on that one. We'll go through very quickly, just run through the card. Some people, some names that kind of excite me. Kevin Kroom is out there. He's, you know, mixed bag, but he's always brings a good fight. I think he jumped on last minute, if I'm correct. It's Sam Hughes versus Stella Nunes. Jordan Levitt versus Trey Ogden. Chris Barnett, heavyweight. Last time he fought, he knocked out John Volante with that crazy kick. And then at the end, he did a nice jump and landed on his tush. Big guy, fun guy, has a very good charismatic approach to him. He's just a fun fighter to watch. He's fighting Martin Bidet. Not sure enough about Bidet, but it's a huge disparity in height. 6'3 versus 5'8. The reach is different, 77 to 75. Bidet with a 2-inch reach. But again, two big guys. So we'll see what Barnett can do. If Bidet is a little bit more versatile than Jean Volante. Volante was his last fight in the UFC. But again, Barnett's a fun fighter to watch. We'll see what happens. That's that one you want to keep your eye on. Again, prelims 5:30 today. I think it's ESPN Plus. Hafa Garcia versus Jesse Ronson. Drocker close. Brandon Jenkins. Now, Close, if you recall, was one of the fighters who he was fighting Stevens, and I want to see, is that the last time he was supposed to fight? Yes. Last fight he was supposed to fight versus Jeremy Stevens, and Stevens had that in the weigh-ins, in the stare-downs, pushed Close, and the fight had to be canceled the next day because he just was off his equilibrium. And I forgot who it was I spoke to not too long after that, where he had a very similar thing happen where someone went and kind of pushed him, and it kind of got him off his edge a little bit, and he understood why Close had to cancel, and was just because you have to understand. You could say what you want. You could say, oh, he wasn't game ready, was whatever the case is. The fighters are not looking to have, you know, it's just the flip of a switch. We always talk about it. How when they step in that cage, the door closes, the ring, the bell gets rung, and the ref says, let's go, let's get it on, whatever it is. And that energy, that intensity is their mind frame is at a different level. When they're in stare downs, not everyone is looking to get in someone's face, trying to get under somebody's skin. Maybe they're more calm, more reserved. They just want to just chill out, whatever. Let your opponent be whatever. They're thinking something else. They're being more zen in their head. I'm not going to let it go through. I'm not going to let them get to me. So when their body is kind of like in a lax state, and if someone just comes and shoves you and pushes you, your body reacts differently, especially if you're not prepared for it. And that's what Drucker Close's reaction was, basically like, I wasn't ready for that. And I forgot who it was. I'm pissed that I don't remember, because had someone on not too long after that fight that was in a very similar situation. And they agreed. It was like they weren't ready for it. It wasn't fun. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't announced. I wasn't prepared, and I was thrown off guard. And I did feel sore the next day. They ended up winning the fight, but they did feel uncomfortable. They had to need an extra massage. And that's just one of those things where, so anybody that's not going to draw Close for canceling that fight versus Jeremy Stevens, put yourself in a situation where you're unprepared for any sort of physical contact, and someone just comes and pushes you and shoves you with that intensity. You tell me how that works out for your body. All right, women bantamweight division, Lena Landsberg versus Penny Kianzad. That's an interesting fight. But the main prelims, Devin Clark versus William Knight. Devin Clark's been up and down his career. William Knight's someone who you really got to look out for. There is the disparity again. Knight's 5'8", a little shorter, where Clark is 6'. 75-inch reach for Clark, where William Knight is 73, so it's a 2-inch reach advantage for Clark. Clark is not known for his knockout power. He's more about controlling the fight, winning by decisions, you know, taking his opponent to the mat if he needs to. We'll see. Knight, on the other hand, he has his he's got his knockout power, but we've seen him win by decision, lose by decision. It's gone back and forth. So that'll be a very interesting and fun fight for the main prelims. Now, main card. Actually, I'll have a big main card. You got Lazez versus Lusa. I'm not sure about those two. Pat Sabatini, featherweight. I think he jumped on last minute, or was it Laramie that jumped on last minute? Both very good win-loss record. Laramie is the younger 24-year-old. Sabatini, 31 vet, 70-inch reach for Sabatini with the 4-inch advantage over Laramie, who's only 66-inch reach, and he's also got the height advantage too. Set 5'7" over 5'5". Listen, Sabatini is a vet of the sport. Laramie's up and comer, so it'll be very interesting to see how Laramie can do against the Pat Sabatini type. Bueno Silva versus Yanan Wu. I love Yanan Wu. She's young kid, 25 years old, got some height. The reach is about the same for Bueno Silva and Wu at 66. 66 and a half for Bueno Silva. Meanwhile, Wu's got Yanan has just 66. It's a half an inch reach for Mara Bueno Silva. But both are very interesting. See, Wu has lost to Jocelyn Edwards, but previously that last fought, actually, she lost to Mizuki Inoue. She beat Lauren Miller. That's what it is. Now, that goes back to 2018. She's still young. She lost it to Mazana. So she actually hasn't had as much success as I thought she has in UFC. And meanwhile, Buena Silva, 30 years old, she last fought. She lost to Manon Fiorot in 2021. the draw with De La Rosa in 2021 as well. But beat Mara Romero Barella, lost to Marina Moroz, and then actually 2018 submitted Jillian Robertson. Interesting fight. I like Wu. I think she's got a lot of potential. But again, 25 years old. Let's see what she can bring to the table. Miguel Baeza. Dude, that guy's fire. This is going to be a good fight. And versus Andre Fiajo. Really good fight. Welterweight division. It's going to be fun. Reaches almost identical. 74.5 for Baeza versus 74 for Fiajo. 6'2", the height reach right there. The edge in the height. But the height doesn't make a difference if the reach is crap or if you can't touch your opponents up. So that's going to be a fun fight, though. Baeza and Fiajo. Then you got Baroja versus Godzi Amargadjev. I don't know those two, to be honest with you. I think they are both contender series guys that I'm just not familiar with. But Godzi is 13-0 and Barajo, there you go, is 10-1. And with one no contest. So co-main event, middleweights. Clearly the UFC sees this fight as going to be a fun, crazy fight. Otherwise they wouldn't toss it there. And then you got the Bilal Muhammad versus Vicente Luque. It is, listen, the revenge fight for Muhammad. Both two good welterweight fighters. I love Luque. I love his power. I love how his approach is in the cage. What he was at the with the Ultimate Fighter and how he's turned things around. Muhammad too, though he's a stud. He's really put himself in a good position to continue to climb up in the welterweight division. Listen, he had that draw versus Stephen Thompson. He had that the decisions versus Stephen Thompson. The decisions versus Damian Maia. Two specialists. You want to talk about a division that the specialists are key? It's the welterweight division. We always talk about that. The specialists aren't really. It's more about the versatility now and how people are good at everything. In the welterweight, you have still the Wonderboy Thompson, who's a specialist with his karate. You have Damian Maia, who's a specialist in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And Muhammad has found a way to defeat both of them via decision. Now he had the balls to go up against that Leon Edwards. And again, this is the type of thing we're talking about earlier, where it's like, you know, you hate when someone gets an eye poke or something, they kind of no contest the fight. Well, that was what it was. Leon Edwards finally had an opponent, and Bilal Muhammad seemed like he was ready, seemed like he was game for it, gets an eye poke, and that kind of just ruined everything. But, you know, listen, we still think that Muhammad has a ton of charisma, ton of experience. This Luque fight is going to be tough because, again, he's going to walk in there remembering that he got knocked out by Luque back in 2016. First round knockout, too. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. Toss-up fight for me. We'll see how it goes. I'll have my picks in soon, ASAP, as the fight starts at 5:30. But listen, let's get to Jake Collier. No more of the BS. We'll have my picks.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanses.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Out on Twitter in a bit, but here he is, Jake Collier. This is the Fight Fan. We're your host, Pete Hoffman, being joined right now by a very special guest, fighting April 30th, Jake Collier. How we doing, Jake? Welcome to the show.
Doing good, man. Can't wait. Can't wait till April 30th.
Listen, so you had a great fight lined up in Justin Taffa, and now all of a sudden, it's a legend himself, Andre Arlovski. I can honestly say, and I'm not sure about you, But for me, he was one of my favorite fighters growing up. He was one of the first people I saw that was like locked into was the Pitbull. Take me through the announcement when Andrei Arlovsky was stepping in to take on you April 30th.
Yeah, my manager called me and he's like, you want the good news or bad news? I was like, I'm assuming the bad news is Toffa pulled out. What's the good news? He's like, you're getting Arlovsky. I said, why are we having this conversation? Let's sign the contract. Let's make it happen. It's awesome. I mean, I've been watching that guy since I was a kid.
Right. No, exactly. Now, but take me through, like, obviously it's someone that you it's a name. It's somebody. It's huge. He's been around the sport forever, former champion. But take me through that mix of emotion, too, because it is someone that you've watched since you were a kid. Did you ever expect to be stepping into the cage versus Andrei Arlovsky?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I figured he had been retired by now, but that guy just keeps fighting, man. And he's doing good. He's on 3-5 win streak.
Take me through your strategy. Now, obviously, Taffo is a different fighter, younger, like you said. Arlovsky is the vet. He's changed his style. What is it going to entail for you to be victorious versus Andrei Arlovsky, knowing the fact that he is a vet? He's been around. He's changed his styles so many different ways. He's not just looking for a knockout. He's looking to outpoint. What is Jake Collier going to do?
I got to turn it into a dogfight. I mean, the guy has 3 times as much experience than I do. And you're right. He has, man. He's came a really good, like, points fighter. He's smarter. He doesn't brawl. You know, he's not really a guy that wants to stand and brawl anymore. He has good movement. I think pressure, being in his face, just staying on him, cutting the cage off, stuff like that, I think that's going to be where I win the fight. And a perfect example of that is when I fought Carlos Felipe, I was the guy backing up, trying to stay long, and I landed 3 times the strikes. I inflicted more damage, but I still lost by decision because he was controlling the cage. And, well, that's what they tell me. So I don't know how I lost that fight, but somehow I did. But with Arlovsky, man, I just got to be in his face, man. I'm quite a bit younger than him. Bring the pressure on him and don't let him get clicked back into that game where he can stay long and point fight me.
So you've seen – are you the type of fighter – and I always ask this to all the fighters. Are you the type of fighter, especially because Arlovsky has had so much ring time, cage time, fight time. So there's so many different things you can go look back on. There's so many different tapes you can study. But are you the type of fighter where it's like – I know what I have to do. I got to focus more on myself. Or are you going to look back at the previous fights, previous times where he's been knocked out, where he's been, you know, other fighters that have found ways to beat Andrei Arlovsky? Are you studying those tapes? Or are you letting your coaches, you know, kind of dictate to you how those fights have gone?
Oh, no, we're all very involved. Like we said, you know, we all talk about it and stuff, you know, together. And I've really watched, focused on his last 3 fights and how he's been fighting and winning, mainly. Yes, I do know, like, you know, how he lost to Aspinall and stuff. I watched that video and stuff. But just really focusing on his last 3 fights, how he's looking in his last 3 fights. You know, I don't need to look at film from 5 years ago. I need to look at what's now, you know, and how he's doing now. And he's been looking great. He's been fighting a lot smarter, and he's been fighting long, and he's just a lot more – he's fighting more intelligent, you know, he's not brawling and just slugging it out. But that's what I want him to do because I feel like that's in my advantage.
Well, listen, Jake, there's a lot in your advantage. I mean, again, we've watched your path now. I want to get back a little bit earlier in your career before you even had a career. Like you said, you were watching Arlovsky in the cage when you were a kid. Take me through what kind of got you into the sport of MMA.
Man, I was always like the big kid. Like I started training MMA because I was like 300 pounds at 19 years old, man. I just cut a lot of firewood, worked on cards, you know. I never played a sport, and I just kind of liked it, man. I was, you know, I've seen Chuck Liddell and stuff and all those guys and watching Arlovsky, man. I'm like, dude, that dude's a beast. Like, who would want to fight that guy, you know? And now, hell, now around 12, 13 years later, I'm about to fight the guy. It's crazy, but it's a sport, man, and – if you ain't in it 100% and love it, then you shouldn't be in doing this shit.
Well, no, that's the one thing I've always heard from so many different fighters, analysts, whatever. If you're kind of like teetering upon, I might want to hang them up, it's best just to hang them up, not even go into a fight, because that's where you're going to get hurt.
Exactly. Absolutely, man. And I'll be honest, like going into that Aspinall fight when I fought him, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had a good welding job. I got to weld it the rest of my life and just kind of been fine. And Aspinall woke me up, man. He slapped the shit out of me, beat me. And I'm like, all right, something's got to change here. I've never had my ass kicked like that ever. I quit my job, like, and just went full time. Had, like, no money in the bank, scary as hell, and just went all in. Now I'm doing pretty damn good.
Heck yeah. And listen, let's do a little rewind, because I do have to ask you, you know, you came up as a middleweight, you're 185. We've seen fighters make those big jumps in weight classes. We saw Anthony Rumble Johnson go from 170s, if I'm correct. He was never a lightweight, but he was a welterweight at one point in time and then went to the heavyweight division. You were a little bit bigger on the middleweight division, 185. Did you ever really want to fight heavyweight, or just kind of gradually that's how things were going for you anyway? You felt more comfortable. Obviously, the weight cut's a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember my last fight at 185, I looked at my coaches like, I ain't cutting this weight class ever again. But this is before I even fought. Win or lose, I ain't doing this shit no more. I'll quit. Because I can't. I mean, I'd walk around at 230. I'd get to 215 just shredded. Like, not nothing left of me, dude. Like, veins coming out of my chest, my abs. And I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to make 185? And then I moved up to 205, and I was like, all right, I didn't really have a lot of time to put on weight. Devin Clark did a good job, you know, taking me down, doing a good job. Then I fought another guy at 205, beat him. Then I had this long layoff because I had my elbow rebuilt and everything, and put on weight, man, just working 60, 70 hours a week, not really training as much, trying to provide for my family. And they called me back, and they're like, hey, we want you to fight at this guy. I'm like, man, I'm way too heavy. I'll just be completely honest with you. I can't make 205 by then. I was like, I'll take a fight at heavyweight. And then I fought at heavyweight. Got beat up. And Vellante was a 205er, moved up, and they matched me up against him. I'm like, which weight are we doing at, 205 or heavyweight? They're like, heavyweight. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm in. And then absolutely, you know, and I fought him, and I did good. And I was nervous at first, you know. I've always trained with heavyweights most of my career. So like going in there, I was worried about the strength and size and stuff, but I did great, you know, and feel good. And, I just kept evolving, I'm a lot leaner, put on some mass. So I'm feeling comfortable, and I don't have to like stress about the weight cut as bad. I mean, I still eat super clean, but it's not like, well, I just dieted 20 pounds off. Now I got to get another 30 off. You know, it's nothing like that. It's a lot easier. It's one less thing I have to not stress about. You know, I can just focus on training and what I'm supposed to do.
Jake, you're talking to a guy who's very heavy myself. I'm 6'2", currently right now weighing in around 280. I mean, I fluctuated my whole entire life. At one point in time, I was high, 330, but that was like the last time I weighed. That was the highest I ever weighed myself. I probably was more, to be fair. Lowest I was in recent years, 230. And it just, you know, it's something that always fluctuates. But being in that heavyweight division, do you ever really focus in on the weight? Like you say, you eat super clean, but are you focusing on your weight on a regular basis where it's like, oh, damn, if I let myself go, I got to cut all this weight again?
Absolutely. I don't want to be like, there's been a couple fights I had to cut a little bit at heavyweight, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, I can just diet this fat off. Like, I've done it my whole life. Like, so, like, for especially for this camp, I've really, like, focused on the diet, because when I was fighting Taffa, my game plan for him was just volume him and just cardio him. Try to be lighter, make it where I don't have to even cut an ounce of water. Just show up, I'm on weight, I'm good to go. And then now I'm fighting Orlovsky. I just, you know, just flowed right into it. You know, same thing with him. You know, I'm a little younger than him. I'm hoping my cardio and endurance and the way his stylistically he fights, I think that's going to be a big deal for me. So I don't want to weaken my body by having to cut weight that I didn't have to cut. I could have just dieted it off, you know?
Right. Where do you realistically want to see yourself on weigh-ins?
I mean, 265 at least. I mean, I'm not cutting more weight than I have to, because I don't care what anybody says. People are like, well, you could diet down and be shredded at like 250. I'm like, yeah, but I can also put on, I could have 15 pounds of fat. That's still 265 pounds behind my punches. And that's 265 pounds on top of somebody.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, we see, you know, the heavyweight division is such a diverse division. It's very top heavy these days, but now you're seeing yourself, Tom Aspinall has skyrocketed. Tuivasa has made his way up there. There's a lot of people that are really starting to make some waves in the heavyweight division. We've seen Stipe go in there trying to shave some pounds off. Francis Ngannou's up and down a little bit. He's more on the higher, heavier scale. There's a strategy when it goes into heavyweight fights. but yours is always just to max out as much as possible?
I mean, if I could, you know, I'm like, you got guys like Dawkins, and we're managed by the same guy. He's a smaller heavyweight, but he's fast. And those big guys got to keep up with that guy, you know? And then I also think, you know, like a guy that if you're comfortable carrying around 265 and you can be lean and fast and do everything be quick. Yeah, you're doing a great. Why not use every bit of the weight class, you know? If you want to get smaller and, you know, say like Stipe, he was close to like 240, or was he in the 230s?
Yeah, I think it was close to 230s when the last time versus Francis, yeah.
I wouldn't have done that, in my opinion. I mean, size, I know what everybody says what they want to say, but size matters. I don't care. Okay, say you got a guy that's 230 pounds. Say you got a guy that cuts to make 265. The next day is 290. Who do you want on top of you? A damn sure you're going to want the 230 guy on top of me, not the 290 guy. I don't care who you are. 300-pound man is a 300-pound man. I don't care how big you are. And that's a lot of ass behind a punch.
Yeah, dude. Is there one person – and now, listen, I feel like this is a stupid question, because any fighter that goes into the cage, you have a level of – I mean, the ego is there, but your level of confidence, it's something that I will never be able to experience. But walking into the cage, is there anybody that you're like, I do not want to get hit by that man?
I mean, I'll be completely honest. I don't want to get hit by anybody. But I would probably say it has to be Derek Lewis, man. That guy puts people in comas.
He does. I mean,
like that guy in the punches, some of the punches that guy lands, it's like, that looked like he barely hit that guy. And the dude's sleeping on the mat for 5 minutes, you know?
If you see, like, you know, you talk about Derek Lewis, he lost his last fight to Tuivasa. We've seen some ups and downs in the heavyweight division. So there's a lot of wiggle. There's a lot of room for you, especially after this fight versus Arlovsky. With the victory, you're climbing. You're hitting the rankings. There's a lot of tasty matchups for you. Obviously, the Aspinall victory, you want to take that back. I think that's something that, you know, being a man myself, like if I lose to somebody, I'm competitive. I want to get that back, especially if it's the first time in the heavyweight division. That's something you want to see happen. Is there one name in particular you want to fight, or are there a few different names out there that you're anticipating to call out after your victory on April 30th?
I mean, I actually, you know what, that guy, I can't think, he does the Ezekiel choke all the time.
Oh, Olenek?
Yeah, there you go, the boa constrictor.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Olenek.
I'd like to fight that guy because, like, I see these guys, like, Jared just fought him, and he got in that more or less head and arm neck crank. Yeah. And there's so many sweeps to get out of that. I was literally just going over that the day before, like a couple days before, with some super heavyweights I trained with, and I was sweeping them, you know, and I'm like, it's really easy. You just got to know the technique. And I'm like, how are these people getting submitted by these submissions? You know, I think that's a good matchup. You know, I think my striking's a lot better than him, and he's going to have a damn hard time trying to take me down if that fight did happen. And I think he's ranked lower than Arlovsky.
And your jiu-jitsu you've been doing jiu-jitsu for how many years now?
I mean, that's kind of what I started out as. I mean, I'm not belted or anything. I've always done no gi, but I've submitted a lot of world-class black belts. So,
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Listen, let's be serious. That's a great fight. And I think that you're the type of person, too, that want to prove yourself. Like, that's a prove yourself fight that right there, too. Like, Olenek is a scary guy. He, like you said, he's definitely submitted a ton of fighters in the heavyweight division. So that'd be definitely a prove yourself type of fight. And I love the confidence behind that. Is there someone else, though, if it's not a specialist like him, that you'd like to see yourself fight, like another striker? Do you prefer to be in these, like you said, you don't want to be hit. Do you prefer to be in these, the ground and pound type of situations, or do you want to be a stand-up fight?
I like stand-up fights because that's what the fans want to see. I'm a fight fan. You know, yeah. If I'm going to the ground, I'm looking for the finish. I'm not going to lay on you for three rounds. That's just not happening. Because for one, I don't want to watch that shit. And I know the fans don't want to watch that, you know. So I like to stand and bang. I mean, I didn't plan on taking Chase down. But I did say before I walked out to my coach, if he throws the lazy-ass kick, I'm taking him down and I'm going to smash him, you know. And it just literally played out like that, you know.
it's got to feel good because, I mean, Chase Sherman has had so many different shots in the UFC. You know, again, like we said, you saw against Aspinall, the Felipe fight. You fought a lot of really good fighters in the heavyweight division to start off. You know, it's not, you know, even the losses, Aspinall is on a different level right now. You know, even again, like you said, you were first fight in a heavyweight division, but the Felipe one, you held your own, and it was debatable whether or not you took that fight or not. So you got to feel good about stepping into the coming back to the UFC after, what is it, 2 year layoff? Was it more than that?
Yeah.
Coming back into the UFC, you got to feel good where you stand right now.
Oh, absolutely, man. And then to get this fight, this is like a blessing in disguise, you know. I wish I wouldn't have spent 6 weeks training for a lefty, and, you know, but it is what it is. You know, I'm in good shape. I feel great. I've got a lot of good training partners in for this camp, a lot of tall guys, 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", guys, you know, just working on the range and reach and stuff because, you know, you got to think. Tafa says he's 6 foot, but he looks like he's 5'10", 5'11 to me, but, you know, I would have reach on him. So I got plenty of training partners that height, you know, but just looking for the taller guys that are bigger than me. I don't know why, but we just got real big guys this camp.
Do you feel that that's comparable to Arlovsky? I mean, obviously the skill set's going to be different, but do you think that just having a guy that size to train against is going to be able to prepare you against Arlovsky?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love the fact that you are so passionate about the MMA world, the fight game. You're a fan favorite because of the way your approach, but take yourself out of the cage for a second and put yourself back into the seats or watching on TV. Over the past few months, we've had some amazing fights. We've had some amazing, you know, hyped up fights. And then you have the ones like, an example, like a Colby Covington versus a Jorge Masvidal, hyped up beyond belief. And it kind of, it's not as the hype was just too much. You're never going to be able to live up to the hype. And it fell flat because Colby Covington out-schemed Jorge Masvidal. As for you watching that fight, are you as frustrated as the fans are, or are you just like you respect the game of Colby Covington?
No, I absolutely knew that's what Colby was going to do. With that much hatred between those two and money fight, why would you stand with Masvidal? I mean, there's no point. And he's that good. He's a good wrestler, and he has cardio for days. He fought smart and got the win. And then, well, we've seen what happened after that. Obviously, Masvidal didn't let that go, you know. And that just – I feel like in Colby's way, that just burns Masvidal's ass even more, you know. It just kind of gets at him a little more. But Colby fought smart. I mean, he fought smart. He used his wrestling. He used his gas tank. It was an intelligent fight for him.
It's funny because you see Colby Covington, and I like to hear your perspective of this. I see Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal, and you're like, yeah, he doesn't want to strike with Jorge. It's a different level of striking. But you see Colby versus Kamaru Usman, who right now in the welterweight division is like, you know, creme de la creme. He's the top of, you know, he could be pound for pound best fighter in the UFC right now. He knocks out Jorge Masvidal, but he can't knock out Colby Covington. Obviously, there's a different element that Colby brings with the whole takedown where maybe is preventing his just focusing on the striking. But it's such a weird thing, MMA, that it doesn't make a difference. The styles make fights.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like, you look at Colby versus Usman, there wasn't a lot of takedowns in there because I think Colby understood, like, Usman's that good of a wrestler. You know, he could have wore himself out just repeatedly trying for takedowns. So, I mean, I feel like it was more of a striking battle because of that.
Besides your fight coming up with Arlovsky, what's the other fight right now in the future that you're most anticipated for?
I don't know, man. Burns and Chimaya, that was my next big one that I wanted to see, and I watched it. It was worth that one. Lived up to the hype.
Do you think Chimaev is that? Is I mean, obviously Burns was his first like real test. I don't want to take anything away from anybody else, but Burns being a number two ranked welterweight is a legitimate test for Chimaev. I mean, is that guy? Can he get a title shot next? Is that possible?
I think they said something about like him fighting Colby next, which is that's another one. Like, I'm tuning in for that shit, you know, because I don't know how that fight's going to go. They're both phenomenal grapplers. And I thought Chimaev's, like, hands looked pretty good, you know. And so I'm excited. I say if he beats Colby, I think he deserves a title shot.
If you would say, you know, Conor McGregor, everyone can agree, was the face of MMA for a nice chunk of time. Who currently is the face right now, and who has the potential to be the face of UFC?
I got to go again with Chimaev. Again, mm-hmm. man, like this guy is – he's the new superstar, man. I mean, when's the last time you heard of anybody talking about the style bender? You know? You haven't heard much. I mean, no one even talks about the 205 champ, you know? I mean – they're just talking about this guy, and he's not even a title holder, you know, because he just brings that excitement. He brings what he brings it, you know. He's sitting on the side of the cage as Burns is walking out, like he doesn't give a shit, like he's here to have fun, and that's awesome, you know. He loves this shit, man, and a lot of guys can relate to that, you know.
When you were out for 2 years plus, how much did you miss it?
Oh, a lot, man. I was training with a lot of the guys, getting ready for fights, and. You know, it's just like, damn, this sucks, man. I wish I could be doing that, you know. And it's definitely one of those eye openers. It's like, because I thought I could just walk away from it at any time, and then it was like, nah, man, I love this shit too much. Like, I can't wait to get back in there.
Did you when the call came? Was there rumblings of you trying to be like, can I get? Let's see if I can get a fight. Can you make it happen? Or was it just out of the blue? Phone call comes and let's do this.
Yeah, literally, it's like I remember I was standing in my kitchen. My manager calls me. He's like, "Hey, this is happening." I'm like, "All right, I'm like there was nothing. Let's go."
Well, listen, Jake, I'm looking forward to your next fight. Again, it's versus legend Andrei Arlovski. It's a can't miss. You're a can't miss. Now it's two legends going up against each other. I can't wait for this. Again, thank you so much, Jake, for the time. Anything you want to promote before you head out of here?
Yeah, man. My main sponsor, SBX, go online and check them out, man. And just my team, my coach, Patrick Smith, my manager, Hector, all my boys down there at the gym, they all support me. I couldn't do this shit without them, you know. Everybody sees me on TV fighting, but realistically, those are the guys that are fucking putting the work in with me and getting me to where I need to be. So I respect the hell out of those guys. They're like my family, so.
I love it, dude. And just being around, you always think that MMA is a very individual sport, but it's not the case at all. Definitely not the case. Yeah. Jake, thank you so much for the time. Looking forward to seeing you April 30th versus Andrei Arlovski. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you to Jake, and thank you for listening and following again on TikTok at Hoff WFAN, Twitter at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fight Fan WFAN, everywhere else, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Odyssey app, WFAN.com, at the Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman. Next week, we will have more. We will have more guests. We'll have a lot more craziness going on as the fights continue to roll in. And if you are listening to this right now, I'll be on tonight, sometime after the fights, tomorrow morning, whatever it is, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Sunday on The Fan. So check me out, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. this Sunday. That's September. Not September, jeez. It is April 17th, Easter Sunday. I will see you guys, and again, thank you for listening to The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.